This is Martin Zender from Studio One. Welcome, everyone. I have an important point to make today based on a question asked of me last week. And I will say this, that you people ask the smartest questions in the world because I have the smartest audience in the world. And you can discern the intelligence of the audience by the intelligence of the question. I was speaking last week of forgiveness versus justification. And I said that a major distinctive factor in Paul's gospel is that we are justified, that is pronounced righteous, and therefore we don't need to be forgiven because forgiven assumes guilt. The circumcision, however, is still presented a gospel that struggles with sin, that makes the forgiveness of sin contingent upon the behavior of those forgiven. And this is an important distinction. The question arises, why does Paul use the phrase forgiveness of sin in Colossians 1:14? It does seem to clash against the truths of justification, because you need to keep this in mind. Justification and the forgiveness of sins cannot coexist. They cannot coexist, excuse me, in the sense of how God presently looks at us. Let me explain. In order to approach this, I'm going to spend the whole show on this because this is important, and I'm glad it was asked because it brings up a gigantic point that I want to emphasize to you that is probably going to blow your minds. And I approach this with great awe and reverence of what God has done for us, the body of Christ, that He has not yet done for Israel. To give you an analogy, I want to start with salvation in the broad sense. In the broad sense, has God saved the world? Yes, He has. Did Jesus Christ die for the sins of the world? Yes, He did. Did Jesus Christ take away the sin of the world? Yes, He did. In the large, broad sense, has humanity been saved already? The answer is yes. But as we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22, that salvation is gradually unfolded. And as we know, some people see it before other people do. Some people come into a knowledge and appreciation and a practical application of it in their lives before other people do. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. We are the first fruits. Christ is the first fruit, but we are the first fruits. We are the next company to be, to be glorified. But in anticipation of our change, of our glorification, we have knowledge and information way ahead of everybody else, way ahead of Israel. And this is one of the keystone principles of the gospel given to Paul, is that we are way ahead of everybody else, and this is not boasting, it's a fact, in our knowledge, in our application of truth, in the revelation of truth. So salvation is true for everybody, but we have come into it early. Now, I want to apply that to now the forgiveness of sin. I think we trip over the translation here. I like the translation of the Dabar version, the Dabar translation, also called the Rit. And in this case, I like to look at the basic meaning of a word, forgiveness. is actually from let. Those are the literal two elements. It's a two-part Greek word. The literal elements are from let, to let off. The Dvar translation has unloosening, the unloosening of sin. Has God unloosened our sin? Excuse me. Has God unloosened our sin? Has he taken away our sin? Yes, he has. That's why he can declare us justified. He's taken away the sin of the world. So you can say that in that sense, he has forgiven. He has loosened, unloosened the sin of the entire world. But does everyone now operate under that truth? No, they don't. And especially not Israel. So when Paul says in Colossians 1:14 that we have the unloosening of sin, you need to look at it in context. That's the key here. And in a broad sense, yes, he has unloosened our sin. But when you see this phrase in the circumcision writings, this is where context comes in. You have to see that the unloosening of sin is contingent upon the behavior of Israel. Justification, although it is true of the entire human race right now, it is not presented yet to Israel. They are still a demonstration of people struggling against sin. And they are still operating under the principle of, we will forgive your sin. We will unloose, God says, I will unloose your sin if you unloose the sin of your brothers. John says this, if we don't forgive our brothers, neither will Christ forgive us. The parable of the 10,000 talent debtor, that pardon of the debtor was remitted when he refused to extend the pardon to one of his debtors. And so you have to look at the context of this broad topic. This broad topic, the loosening of sin, can apply to a lot of things. It can apply generally, broadly, to yes, God has taken away our sins. In that sense, we are forgiven from our sins. But we are not forgiven from our sins in the sense that, in the sense that Israel is, that we are required to do things. We are required to be worthy. We are required to produce fruits worthy of repentance in order to get it. You have to read all of Paul. You can't just isolate Colossians 1:14. I'm not saying the person who asked this question did this. But you can't just look at Colossians 1:14 and say, well, that undoes everything Paul says about what? About justification. We are justified. That is, God is not reckoning us according to our sins, and because of Christ, he is looking at us as being righteous before him. That's the truth. And so, the forgiveness of sins, if you're going to look at it in the Israel sense, if you're going to take a context from Israel and apply that context to Paul, you can't do it. In the broad sense, yes, he's taken away our sins. He's taken away the sins of the world. But in the if-then sense, in the sense of that your sins are not forgiven unless you do something, that does not apply to us. It still applies to Israel, however. So you have to look at the context. Look, and when I say context, when you take Colossians 1:14 and Paul, when I say context, you have to look at the entire context of Paul's letters. You have to see that, well, here we're pronounced righteous. We're pronounced just by God. So how can we be forgiven at the same time? It's not in the same sense that Israel is forgiven. It's not in the same sense. So what I said last week is still true, that you can't be forgiven and justified at the same time in the sense that forgiveness is a contingency, is an if-then proposition that's presented to Israel. It's not that for us. They have to do this. They have to produce fruit. They have to forgive their brothers or God won't forgive them. That's how it's presented to them. It's not presented to us that way. In other words, that is not the context that we are looking at. In Colossians 14, we're looking at the unloosening of sins in the broad sense, that we enjoy the fact that God has taken sin away. He has taken our sins away and pronounced us justified. He has not pronounced Israel justified. And here comes the argument again, well, that's not fair. I know it's not fair. It's not a matter of fair. And here's the verse that I want to get to you. It's 1 Corinthians 10:11, that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. This is not said of the circumcision. I think the King James in 1 Corinthians 10:11 will say something like, the ends of the world have come to us. What the heck does that mean? They probably just say the end of the world. I imagine they ignore the plural. I'm not going to look at the King James here, but I know they don't use the word eons. But listen to what Paul is saying. The consummations of the eons have attained to us. That means that everything that God is working toward at the consummations, at the ends of things, like when something has come to fruition, when the salvation has come to fruition and God is all in all, that we have that now. We are given that information. And so we are not forgiven in the sense that Israel is. Israel's still primitive. God is still working with them in accord with their sins, in accord with their flesh. I told you it's a grand demonstration of the inability of flesh to please God. We're past that. We don't have to concern ourselves with that anymore. Why? Because we're justified. We're justified. So we have raced ahead. We've raced ahead to everything that the eons are designed by God to produce. Salvation and sin, not even on the horizon. You see, sin is not even on the horizon with us. And so we see the end to this loosening of sin business to the point that we're justified. Israel is not there yet. It's not their fault. They're not meant to be there. I'm telling you, it's primitive. It's like the Flintstone era. They are still wrestling with that. Don't feel bad for them. God needs them to continually do this. The consummations of the eons have not attained to Israel. So it's the context that is vitally important. The loosening of sins for us is not presented as an if-then proposition. It's not presented as you do this or I'll do this. With Israel it is. With us, sins have been loosened, yes. That's why Paul brings up that phrase. And I know it's confusing. I banged up against that 20 years ago. So what is this? Why, if we're justified, why is Paul even mentioning the forgiveness of sins? This is where I prefer the loosening of sins, because it puts it in a more generic, more broad sense. That God has done this for this also. God has done this for us as well as for Israel and the world. Well, then the circumcision gospel and the uncircumcision gospel are the same. No, that's when you have to look at context. Our freedom from sin has nothing to do with wrestling against it. We're a new humanity, remember? That's also not an Israel truth. Keep these differences in mind. Look at context. Sometimes it helps to take the broad application of a word, that's why, or a phrase, that's why I like the Dvar translation, the unloosening of sin. We have this, yes. We have it by the complete grace of God. Israel does not yet have it, because you will not find them justified before God. You will not find Israel justified before God, pronounced righteous in any of the circumcision writings. That is a truth belonging exclusively to Paul.